Hello, Clippers. This is
this is ominous as hell.
This is an ominous hello from the fifth seed. So,
as of recording,
things are going good.
Come on.
I'm just playing with you. Yeah, you know I never get that down on things. It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am trying to be positive, Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Yeah.
And despite the somber opening, we're going to try to be rational about this analysis of the loss to the Utah Jazz. We're going to kick things off with a recap of that 120-107 loss. It looks a little worse than it was. It definitely could have been much worse than it ended up being. But we're going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't
it was
like.
An odd game.
As well as just an overall how we're feeling. And then today it's Monday. We do it every single Monday. It's the freshies.
Woo.
Talk about who and what is fresh.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings.
All over the place in the shavings, I would say.
We got some interesting stuff in here.
It's all over the place.
I'm liking what you're laying down. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
So the Clippers spoiled a bit of the Christmas cheer. I think we can all agree with that loss on Saturday to the Jazz.
That was Christmas cheer. This is Christmas schmear.
Christmas schmear. Had a couple Christmas beers after this one. It was terrible. Let's get into the overall vibe of this game before we get into what we liked and what we didn't like. It felt off from the start to me.
I disagree.
Trez getting ruled out that quick before the game. We saw it happen in the locker room. He was talking about how he was feeling cold, like his body was feeling cold, like he wasn't.
Yeah, that's right.
Gonna
yeah,
play.
Actually,
that's a big loss. That
you're right. Short. I was worried as soon as that last minute like, really happened. It looked like we would be able though to still come out on top on this one through the first in the first quarter.
Yeah, and then there was
it really just kind of went. I mean, it went downhill after that opening frame. We lost every quarter after that.
Yeah,
a
lot of unforced errors.
The turnovers,
they were untimely.
They were untimely. They were still so much lower than our average. Utah was, though, really able to they were really able to punish us on all of them.
They shot the lights out, too, which we'll get into what we didn't like. But if you didn't watch the game, you missed a clinic on how to shoot.
Yeah.
From the Utah
Jazz. We mentioned it at the top, but that final score was 120-107. The score is a little bit bloated in that loss in terms of just it really was a lot closer throughout most of it. And I kind of felt like we seeded the game.
There was
the last couple of minutes in the fourth quarter.
Around 5.5 minutes left, we'll talk about what we did. Like there was a pretty big swing that kind of ended the game. Yeah, it was just kind of an odd, Trez didn't play PG. Let's get into what we liked, because we're going to start off with what we did like if we keep talking about this. Zoo's offensive performance.
Just offensive.
Well, the defensive was good for the most part, but there was one stretch.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But, I mean, 15-12 with 9 offensive boards.
It seemed like for a period of time he didn't miss a single available offensive board. It seemed like it's like my fantasy of if there's a shot, we grab every single offensive board.
Yeah, he said, I think he had the most, he had 7 offensive boards in the first quarter, which was the most of anyone in the NBA in a single quarter this year. Doc said it in the post game that his offensive rebounding kept us in the game in the first quarter. And that is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
He did like exactly what we needed him to do without Trez.
Yeah.
He challenged Gobert.
And like really nicely in some instances.
The verticality was great. I was so impressed. I think a lot of people were very impressed with Zoo.
One thing I will say that he didn't change my mind on. It's been an issue for me. It's like one of my biggest harps on him. Damn, did we miss Trez's finishing.
There were some touch issues for sure.
He finished 4-7, still 57%, which,
but there were some that he should have finished.
It's not awful, and he shot really well from the line. He was 7 of 8.
Yeah, he did.
There were just some ones that like Trez would have finished
for sure. But it's hard to compare. Like, you know, what do you, Trez is a top finisher. You know what I mean? So like, it's hard
his
to
overall
compare.
I couldn't agree more though. His overall game was definitely something that I liked.
For what we needed, it was like, it was all Zoo did all he could. I feel like, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. Like he played great.
He played 28 minutes in this one. It was the first time we've seen him close down the stretch, which I don't know. I probably wouldn't keep him to close down the stretch.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it, you know, he made a solid argument for those in the Clipper Nation.
He did.
In
I'm one of those people.
Rafters who want to see Zoo play more minutes.
He earned those minutes, I would say. And then Shamet.
Yeah.
4 of 5 from three. Played a fantastic Shamet game.
Look, I know that we ended up dropping this game, but there was a bunch of periods where it seemed like they were kind of snuffing the light out, and Shamet would reignite that flame.
Timely.
He looked so great. Coming off of motion, just getting things moving in an offense missing one of its largest cornerstones.
Yeah.
He was really able to make things go. I also loved in this game Patrick Beverley's offensive performance and aggression.
Oh, man. He was another person who kept us in the game in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Floater after floater.
He ended up finishing with 12 points, 5 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 2 from three. He was so damn aggressive from the opening frame of this game.
He was going at him.
I loved to watch it. The first quarter, I think, was his best offensive performance probably all season. He was able to pick apart what the defense was doing. And he didn't even have to, like, it wasn't even like the typical stand in the corner, like kind of catch and shoot, like the bare minimum that we accept from Pat.
Yeah.
He was like being aggressive.
He was ahead of steam.
The floater game was incredible.
It was great.
I would go beyond liked from this game. I loved that sort of like offensive aggression from Pat, just the recognition that without a major scorer in there, someone was going to need to make up 20 points in this game.
Yeah, and it was going to be dispersed between a couple guys, like
for
between
sure.
Shamet and Bevitt
for
was,
sure.
But it was great. Anything else that you liked?
Sorry, I'm just looking
no,
back
you're
at my
good.
Notes.
I didn't have too much else, if I'm being perfectly honest.
No,
it's just,
I mean,
kind of a goofy game that
though,
you know, I mean, PG was active early,
yeah,
which was nice. Other than Ingles torching us early, the defense was pretty good.
He faded a little bit down the stretch.
Lou's defense was all right during this game.
Yeah,
it was better than it had been. He had a chase down block, which was great. But that kind of is where it ends for me, I think. So yeah,
I think that's about all the good that we can take away from this one. Other than just, it's amazing that we could hang in this game at all
with how poorly Kawhi
when
PG
Kawhi
shot
6 of 24 from the floor. Paul George was 6 of 20. Lou Williams was 5 of 14. And we were out Trez. I think that the fact that we didn't get dumped on in this one by 20 points,
it could have been horrible. Credit to Zoo.
Honestly, I don't want to be the guy that makes excuses, but it does feel nice that it wasn't. We didn't just get completely
destroyed.
Spat on.
Get our teeth kicked in. Yeah. One of the things this can go into kind of what we like and what we didn't like. Bev hurt his wrist, which we didn't talk about.
And
up
you
like
this?
Yeah, I love this. Which we didn't talk about that up top because we didn't want to freak anybody out. Anybody that saw it. I like that he returned. I think.
Well,
there was an X-ray.
There was an X-ray.
No break.
No break.
Doc did say he was having trouble palming the ball, though.
Which,
that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
This is where it gets into what
big,
we didn't like.
That big fucking idiot Rudy Gobert
that's
fell
what we,
on him.
Yeah, he still challenged. He got a block with his hurt hand at one point, which is...
That was incredible.
Which is cool to see, but also I'm like, did that hurt the thing even more? Like,
I don't know, man. You can't stop Bev from making a play like
Bev getting hurt,
that.
That's a thing. That was a big thing. Like, also, the Jazz shooting in this game.
It
did
was
not. I did not care for it. 17 of 35 from three for a healthy 48%.
Yep.
They usually shoot 32%, so we just got marked on percentages. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't give up any too crazy extra shots. They were just hitting every single shot. Every single guy had a crazy... I mean, the worst three-point percentage is 1 of 4 from Jordan Clarkson, but... Donovan Mitchell, 4 of 9. Joe Ingles, 5 of 8. That was horrible to watch. And that was early, too.
I mean, I even thought that there were stretches where we played really solid defense on Mitchell, and he was just still hitting any contested
shot. He averages
shot.
30 against the Clippers, like, for his career. He's a Clipper killer, officially.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Zoo's rough 4 minutes at the end of the half. Big swing in the game, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. You said that while we were there at the game. he had zero fouls. He was doing really, really solid. And
phenomenal.
And got three just back-to-back-to-back in a span of, what, 2 minutes maybe?
Dude, 2.5, 5. Yeah, it was just like that altered. And then we had to play Jermichael at the five a bunch, which was not going well.
Let's talk about that, too, because Jermichael at the five.
That bummed me out.
I mean, I have to be honest with you guys. I've been a big proponent of it. I love the idea of it. It was,
now that we've seen it.
It was trash.
It was not that good.
It was trash last night. And, you know, we've seen it. We saw it last year work a little bit more effectively. He just was unable to really stretch the floor at all. He was 2 of 7, 0 of 5 from 3.
Doc also said he played well in the post-game presser, and I kind of did like a, huh.
Yeah, I don't know, man. In 20 minutes, he had 3 boards.
It was
five
rough.
5 points. I mean, like, I don't know.
It didn't go well. It's also one of the worst teams to try to have to do this. Not try this, have to do this again.
That's the thing. With the length and, like, prototypical size of Utah, this isn't really a matchup that favors
having
Michael at the five.
Half of your centers out.
Unless you can really run the team out. Like, unless we were really looking to push the pace,
which
I think that changes things a little bit.
Yeah.
But we never really got to that point.
The fourth quarter defense, we're going to talk about PG, Lou, and Kawhi in a second. But the fourth quarter defense, Jazz had 11 free throw attempts in the first 5 minutes of the quarter.
Uh-huh.
And then I mentioned earlier there was a slip up in the fourth. With 5 minutes, 45 seconds left, we had 2 unforced turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was just like, shit. Okay. Like, this is how it felt a little deflated from that point.
Totally.
Game was still winnable, but the vibe was not there. And then to kind of cap this off, it was a big letdown from Lou, Paul George, and Kawhi. It was a tough go.
Yeah, they were like a combined 17 of 56 or something like that.
Paul George was 4 of 10 from 3, which, hey, hell yeah, we needed it.
From 3, he's been shooting really, really well. I feel like he's been struggling a little bit, and he acknowledged this. This is another just don't like. He's been tentative getting into the rim. He's been tentative trying to finish through contact. He's worried about the shoulder, which makes sense. I get it. But, you know, it's just
a big mental thing.
It's just a different story from what we heard earlier.
And what we saw. I said this. I was on Locked On NBA podcast. We were so spoiled.
Yeah.
Those first couple games. Like, that was as good as anyone could have predicted that those first couple games could have gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, and he said for the first time, like, his shoulders felt healthier than ever. Two healthy shoulders.
Yeah.
And I do understand the mental block, but, like, that's one of those things that we need him playing downhill. We need him getting aggressive if the shots aren't falling.
If you look at, so 4 of 10 from 3, fantastic. 2 of 10 everywhere else from 2. Brutal. Lou, 5 of 14, 1 of 6 from 3. I mean, it just wasn't, everyone's sick. Like, how are we feeling after this game? How are we feeling today?
One thing I will say that I just forgot to bring up in the what we liked, I do want to, before we get into what we're feeling, and on a little bit of a positive note, Lou Williams did have 9 assists in this one.
Hats
in a
off.
Game where, A, there was no Trez, and B, no one could make a shot to save their life.
That's a lot of us. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's pretty impressive.
Adjusted assist, this is like 27 assists.
I know. I don't know. To me, it just kind of goes to speak about how he is able to transform his role when the shots aren't falling. And he didn't even get to the line a whole lot. I mean, only 5 attempts in this game in which he did go 5 of 5. So I will say that I just feel like Lou's maybe been drawing some heat from the fan base lately, and I feel like it's a little unwarranted.
We'll see what happens on Tuesday against the Kings. How are you feeling after this game?
I'm feeling like I got the frickin' flu.
I'm sick.
I'm sick.
Damn, you seem really upset about it.
I'm not happy, man. This was a bummer.
Are you bummed about the win-loss thing?
What do you mean?
Just feels like every time we kind of have a good win, we follow it up with maybe a bit of a tough loss.
I don't give a shit. No. this one hurt. This one hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talk about all these times, these wins that are like, oh, this would have been a one win, and we talked about this, like, they would have stolen this one.
Yeah, the Clippers.
If we would have won this game, we would have stolen it. They shot like 55% from three. We would have stolen this win.
I think I was feeling we kind of deserve to lose this one. If our biggest three offensive guys can't bring it, it's going to be hard to win. We better win on Tuesday.
I'm puking all over everybody.
Okay, get over it.
I'm sick.
We're going to bounce back on Tuesday. Coming up after this, we got the Freshies. Okay, so we were talking Patrick Patterson very briefly in that game breakdown.
Yeah.
For a very specific reason.
He only played 7 minutes.
He started the game, only played 7 minutes. He was kind of in that Gortat role. What is his spot in this rotation? Because a game where we're down one of our larger players, you think having Patterson play more minutes would be prudent.
He would just...
Right.
He also shot the ball well. And he just does have that he does have that size, you know, going against a larger unit. You know, he shot 40%. He wasn't knocking down any threes though.
Yeah, I mean, he missed like all of his threes.
Yeah,
so that probably played into it. But he also just kind of has the green light. So I feel like it's odd when you're told to shoot a bunch if you miss. I don't know. It just seemed like, especially in the game against Utah, we could have used him a little more size wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Another just fresh guy to the squad. Honestly, man, what's going on with Roddy Magruder? Played 11 minutes in this one. He finished with 3 points. I got to be honest, man. He was wholly invisible to me. Like,
you have not been impressed by Magruder.
Not in this game specifically. Yeah. Overall, I mean, I feel like he's had some ups and downs. Like,
I think it's that thing where he's going to get less minutes. So he's, now that everyone's healthy... Other than the flu?
I think that's fine, man. But I don't know.
He's got to show it. He's got to show you something is what you're saying.
I've just seen Magruder games where he's like playing a little bit more competent defense.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not expecting like those huge step-out offensive games. That's not his role. That's not what we need him to do. But like I don't know. Like I said, man, I just felt like he played nearly 12 minutes. He was invisible to me.
It's been the rotations. The rotations have been... A little odd. Not odd, but they're getting figured out.
You think you can outcoach Doc is what you're saying?
I do not think that at all. another situation.
Doc, if you're listening, Charles challenges you to a coaching role.
I do not
right
challenge
now.
You to a coaching role. We got Mo Harkless as a freshie, and there's right. now trade rumors swirling about Mo Harkless.
Okay, so Mo Harkless, another guy last night.
Rough.
Invisible to me.
Only one shot, but I don't think that's Mo's fault.
I don't care about the only one shot, man. I didn't think the defense was really there.
What's the matchup numbers on it?
I don't have them right in front of me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm guessing ass to ass.
Okay, I don't think it was that. So the one shot attempt is the thing where I know he doesn't have a bunch of gravity.
I'm not really worried about the shot attempts.
You just want...
I would have liked to see him slow down Donovan Mitchell.
That's not going to happen, apparently, for this Clippers team. Even Doc said that. Yeah. I feel like we're nitpicking a little bit on this one game. For Mo.
Man, that's how I'm feeling.
All right.
No, I feel like the last couple... No, that's not true. I felt like he played some pretty solid
The games. Question remains, how do you feel about these trade rumors of Mo Harkless for Thaddeus Young? That is the swirl at the moment on Twitter. The rumors are absolutely swirling. They're bustling. I'm against it.
I
think
against
it's insane.
Swole Harkless for Thaddeus Young?
Whoa,
no offense.
Okay, we're not body shaming your unlucky one. So if you look at Thad Young's numbers, they are better than Mo Harkless's. Absolutely. He averages almost 9 points a game, 2 dimes, 4.5 boards, 32% from 3-on-3 attempts. However, his offensive rating is 97, and his defense rating is 100. Defensive rating, not too bad. Mo is at 5-3-1, 34% from 3-on-1 attempt, offensive rating 107, defensive rating 105. So if you just look at those numbers, it's like, oh, yeah, we should do this trade. But Thad Young's older. I don't think he would start for this team.
I just don't see Thad Young having the versatility that Mo Harkless does defensively in this lineup. Offensively, it's a marginal upgrade, I guess.
But how much more, I was just talking about that one shot thing with Mo Harkless. How many more shots would Thad Young get in this lineup?
No, I totally hear that.
I just don't like, this would be kind of a panic move. And I will say on Twitter, I asked Clipper Nation on Twitter, I got every kind of answer. I got expletives hurled at me. People were saying we should try and trade for Covington. For Mo.
If it's Covington for Mo straight up, I mean, that seems like you're fleecing somebody. And I love Mo Harkless, but, you know.
I just don't like, I can't see the team making a trade right now this early.
Mm-hmm.
Trade deadline's still a ways away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, this would feel like a bit of a panic move. And I don't even think the trade's going to happen. These are just rumors.
I don't know, man. There's still a little youth on this team.
So why get... Yeah, it's like, we got to keep kind of what we got.
That's the thing, too, is like, I mean...
We don't score. We're not.
You gotta acknowledge there's seasons beyond this one.
We're not one of the more spry teams in the league.
Yeah, and you know there is a long play in this beyond this year. You know,
and Mo is an expiring deal.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have Thad Young for like 2 more years, whatever it is, and it's like, great, we got Thad Young. I don't know. I'd be surprised if they did this trade.
It's such a marginal move to me that I almost feel like, is it even worth trying to shake up like what little continuity and familiarity this squad already has with one another?
100% to add another guy,
to bring in Thad Young.
Yeah, for like I didn't even think about that until you just said it. But you're right. 213 Hoops, an LA Clippers news blog.
Okay.
You should go check them out. Formerly, yeah,
absolutely.
Formerly of They Who Shall Not Be Named Media.
That's right.
They said it was a lateral move.
Robert Flom, shout out.
Shout out. They said it was a lateral move. Yeah. And that's exactly what it feels like. And I feel like because it's a lateral move, that also makes it it's a bad move. Because it's like, why even make it?
Why even make the move? Yeah. I mean, I agree. And there is still some time left to sort of figure things out if we are to make a trade. This just ain't it for me.
No, this would be okay. Like, I would get this, I would see this tweet and I'd be like, should we live stream? And people would be like, no.
You know, like, yeah.
I don't know. Any trades? Do you want any trades to happen?
Nah, man. Not at all.
Not right now.
I gotta be honest, not at all for right now. We'd have to waive somebody to open up a roster spot if we were to sign somebody.
Someone who, a substantial person in turn, because the salary is it's kind
of
hell.
Well,
if you're trading anyone
in
that,
terms of a trade, I'm saying if we're picking somebody off the free agent market.
Oh, I think that's out of the question. I don't think the Clippers are doing that at all because they haven't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but I think like.
And as far as a trade.
Everyone who's in that $22 to $25 million range, we can't even get without sacrificing.
I just still feel like we've only seen glimpses of what we've got.
It's been so many speed bumps.
Yeah.
It feels like we've just been hitting speed bumps the whole goddamn season. Not giant roadblocks.
I'm just not seeing a move out there.
Not spike strips, just speed bumps.
I gotta be honest with you too. Like, outside of like my fantasies, I'm not seeing like a realistic move that we have to make that super moves the needle without like
an overhaul.
A wild expense.
Yeah.
I
mean, I'm a little frustrated with just some of the things that we're doing poorly as a team, not with the record or anything like that, you know, turnovers, transition, that kind of stuff. I'm frustrated with for sure.
Yeah.
But there's no one that is
Don't see adding a new player making turnovers getting better.
Exactly.
Especially because a lot of the turnovers are coming from guys that wouldn't be trading also. Yeah.
And it's continuity issues. And you're adding a whole new thing. Should we go to the shavings? Is there anything else you want to talk about the freshies? Shout out to all the new guys.
Yeah.
All right. We're heading to shavings. Coming after this. What are we talking about? Okay.
What are we talking about? Shavings. So
there's a couple of things. We got like 5 or 6 minutes or so.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Should we start with the big thing, the blown leads, which seems that people seem to be all a Twitter about it on Twitter.
Did you say people are a Twitter about it on Twitter?
Yeah. I'm losing my mind. I'm exhausted. Christmas has been going on for a week and a half. This is what happens. When do we worry?
I liked what Doc said last night. Somebody brought up the double-digit lead.
Tomer did.
Tomer Rosarli, wonderful reporter. If you're not already following him, please do.
You absolutely should be.
Great, great Clippers writer. Doc said, when did we have a lead in the first quarter?
13-point lead in the first quarter?
I don't count that.
Yeah, he basically said we look at fourth quarter leads.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm inclined to agree. I'll worry when... I don't know. I can't pinpoint when I'll worry, but everyone will know.
Here's the thing that worries me more. And honestly, I guess I'm willing to give it a little bit of a pass in this Utah game. But like lead or draw or whatever, watching the team's composure fall apart is disheartening.
That's your big okay, yeah.
Watching
it just kind of slip away and the team be like, "Wow, that slipped away."
Yeah.
You think there's a little bit of cruise control?
Make the bad mistakes, like the turnovers in the Utah game weren't great, but I'll chalk that. I'm willing to chalk that one up to a little bit of a last minute shuffle of the deck,
okay,
personnel wise. But
there's been other games where
it's more just like, you know, the bad foul, like some egregious fouls and ejections and stuff like that. And just like guys just generally losing their cool is the thing that I'm not a fan of.
You want a chiller. You want a more focused, like, I see what you're saying.
I just want the composure to be there.
You want? Yeah. Okay.
And so I think that's the thing that can be a little disheartening to watch. And we've talked about this before, or at least I've talked about this before, like that it's sometimes like when you look at some of these numbers, like the amount of turnovers and stuff that we're having,
yeah,
it's pretty easy to draw a parallel to that of a young team.
Okay. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is interesting because like obviously the personnel is there and maybe just I feel like we say continuity so much on this podcast, but
I'll break the thesaurus out for Tuesday's episode.
Either the coalescence isn't present quite yet. And so that, I guess I'm worried about, but I am confident that it's not permanent.
Yeah. I think we'll get there. I just hope it's at the right time.
Yeah.
Whew. I got a little deep on shavings. Fantastic Twitter user at Yeti Moose pointed out a nice development. Those Miami picks that we dealt in that Paul George trade aren't looking too good right now.
Love this.
Love it.
Love.
Something I hadn't thought about in a minute. I was very happy he tweeted this at us. That makes some people are freaking out about the Shea Paul George thing.
The thing to me is...
It's nice. It's like a nice little thing. Like it's good to see. It's like a nice little boost, I guess.
Little thing to me.
It's like a treat.
These Miami picks were always like house money or gravy or whatever. It was like an
because we were trading them no matter what.
It was like an extra thing that I kind of felt, even though it looked like the Heat could possibly bottom out.
I thought they were going to.
History wise, it doesn't seem like that would be the case.
Yeah, fair.
These picks were always one of those things that the longer we held on to them, to me, theoretically, the less value they would have.
Yeah. We got rid of them at a perfect time.
And I think that we... Look, no one wanted to see Shea not here.
No.
But I think that we extracted the most value out of these picks that we possibly could.
Because, again, it was for Kawhi...
And Paul George.
It's just nice to see those picks doing well. Or poorly.
Yeah.
Agreed. Also, as we're recording this on Sunday, the 29th, whatever it is, City of Palmdale declared today Paul George Day. The Clippers' hometown star is unveiling 7 courts across the city that are either new or refurbished.
Yeah.
That's what coming home does.
Love it.
Love it.
Are
you scoffing at it?
I think he should get a better day.
Whoa, what do you mean by that?
29th, it's right in between Christmas and New Year's. He deserves a better day.
Look, what if that was the only slot left in Palmdale?
It's not.
You don't know that. One last thing to end on. This is just an existential question.
All right.
Who is Sweet James, and how did he all of a sudden become the stanchion sponsor for the Clippers?
Okay.
He's just like a lawyer.
You informed me as to the mythology of Sweet James.
He's just a lawyer who somehow has enough capital to be like, oh, I sponsor the Clippers stanchions now. Boom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't trust him.
I'm just saying.
What kind of law does he practice? Also, Sweet James, if you'd love to... If you'd like to advertise.
If you want to change my mind.
If you'd like to advertise.
We love lawyers.
A daily Clippers podcast. I take that back. We love the law. Yeah, right? But we do love advertising.
But how do you just have... How are you able to just sponsor the Clippers out of nowhere? That's where I get a little tinfoil hatty. What's going on?
I don't know. Maybe... I think it's smart. Maybe
I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and there's going to be a daily segment about what I've learned about Sweet James. There's
what if? What if, though, he bought in before free agency? He was just like, yeah, next year. And he got like a screaming deal
on
this
thing. But it just started.
And now he's like.
It started 30-something games in.
Did it?
Yes. I would have noticed the Sweet James stanchion. Earlier.
Maybe he bought it. Maybe they sell them in packages, kind of like ticket packages. And his
are you on the take? Later. You seem very pro Sweet James.
I don't know. I cannot say.
My lawyer, Sweet James. I don't know. Anyway, that's what we're gonna end.
look for Sweet James though. Obviously, if you have legal needs,
what are you doing? You give the guy free promo. I don't like this. I'm not saying don't, but don't. All right. Thanks for sticking with us.
Absolutely. Sorry to start this one out on a bummer note, but guys, it's all fine.
It's all going to be fine. It wasn't a bummer. We were roasting Sweet James.
Everything's fine.
Tuesday's episode, we're going to be taking your questions for Twitter Tuesdays. Send them to us. I'll put out the alert on Twitter, @ Locked On Clips, @ Charles Mock. We'll have to send them to all of us.
That'll be today, if you're listening to it.
Today. And there's going to be a preview of the 2 p.m. game against the Kings for Tuesday's episode. Oof. I hope we win. I think we're going to win. As well as whatever else happens now and then in Clipperland. Thank you all so much for listening. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer. Rate, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Thank you so much for listening. I've been positive, Chuck Mockler.
I'm willing the opinion Updike. Appreciate you.